We are going to continue our study of those 13 questions. We're on question number 9, which we began last week. And if you don't happen to have a book, that's no big deal. We'll read the question once, and there's nothing else in the book except for the question. So we'll continue our discussion of these things. And let me make one real quick note so I don't forget. Okay. Question number 9, and we began our discussion of this in our study last week. Why does the Church of Christ insist that their name is scriptural when it cannot be found anywhere in the Bible? The church is referred to as the Church of God 8 times in the Bible, but never is it called the Church of Christ. Where does the Bible call the church? The Church of Christ. Again, we have read that question and actually began a pretty good discussion of the material in our discussion last week. And as always, we want to answer these questions fully, so sometimes we cover a bit more than the concise or quick answer would lend itself to. And if someone were to ask me, where is the scriptural designation Church of Christ found in Scripture, in the Bible, I would say Romans 16:16, and make the argument that if there is more than one Churches of Christ, then there is a Church of Christ. And I think that would pretty much settle it, because in actuality this is a rather silly quibble that is made. But we did spend some time talking about the name by which we are named, that of Christian, and looked at the various instances. There are 3 which are found in the New Testament where the designation Christian is used, including 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, where the Apostle Peter indicated that if we suffer a Christian, we are not to be ashamed, or suffer as a Christian, we are not to be ashamed in that matter. So, having established that the name that we are to be known by is Christian, we pointed out the fact that there are certain descriptions that are given of God's people. Those descriptions can have reference to the individual Christian. Individual Christians are known as disciples, they're known as members, they're known as saints, as citizens. These are various designations that are given in Scripture, not proper names per se, but rather descriptions of God's people. Certainly acceptable to be called a disciple of Christ. The word disciple means one who learns. So that's certainly an accurate thing. And the Lord referred to His followers as disciples. A good designation to be known by, though it's not one that is often heard other than in describing the relationship, but not one that we would call ourselves often, is bondservant. But the Apostle Paul, time and again, did. He referred to himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and of course the word bondservant, coming from the Greek doulos, has reference to, in effect, a slave, one who is a slave. And so there are, again, numerous examples that we could refer to as designations or descriptions of individual Christians. The same thing is true with regard to collections of Christians. We talked, for example, in our discussion last week of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, where the congregation, the collection of Christians in Corinth, was known as the Church of God, which is at Corinth. There are other designations that are given. And they could have reference to the entirety of God's people collected together, as in the body of Christ, or having reference to the kingdom of God. They could have reference to specific locations that are referred to as congregations or assemblies or churches in various locations. The churches of Galatia, the Church of God, the Church of the Firstborn, and various, and of course that phrase could be used in referencing the universal body of Christ as well. But these are all descriptions, and the point that we make, and is often made, is that the description that we utilize to describe ourselves is a scriptural designation. When we put the name Church of Christ on the sign out front, we're not intending to denominate ourselves. In the sense of setting ourselves apart from any other congregation of God's people or any other church of God's people, any other body of God's people. You know, it's simply a designation that describes who we are. We are the congregation or ecclesia of Christians, that belong to Christ. That's where the of Christ has reference, which meet on the west side of Fort Worth. And that's all that is mentioned by that. And so if we begin to use those phrases and terms in sectarian ways, then we are guilty of indeed an unscriptural use of the term as it's found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. And we have to be careful about that, because there, and just something to keep in mind, and something that we need to be able to teach people when they are converted to the Lord's to the truth and become Christians, is often they will come out of denominations, and as a result, there are those perhaps inclinations and those preconceptions that exist and that can carry over. And we need to make sure that people understand that when you become a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ, a member of the Lord's Church, that you are leaving denominationalism, and by becoming a Christian and a Christian only, you are not a part of any denomination. And if we are a denomination, then we are sinning. We're wrong, because denominationalism is wrong. Division is wrong. But we contend that when you look at the truth of God's Word and you take it and it alone, that when you have responded to it and live your lives by it, then you are simply a Christian, and that alone. And so if there is anything that we do that is unscriptural, we certainly want to change. But the designation, Church of Christ, is indeed found in Scripture, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where the Apostle Paul exhorted the Roman Christians to greet one another with a holy kiss, and then said, "The churches of Christ greet you." The word churches there is the plural of ecclesia, which means assemblies. The word church comes from a Latin term. It is a Latin term that was sufficiently in common use that when the Greek language was translated into the English in the modern translations, rather than simply taking the English equivalent, instead this Latin term, which is anglicized to church, was taken, and that's where we get that term. Now, can we do that? Well, we do it with an awful lot of terms that are found in Scripture. The word baptize is the same. The word angel is another example of that. And as long as we define it correctly, then there's nothing that's inappropriate about it. You may be familiar or remember Charles Holt, who was a gospel preacher for many years that apostatized and began to teach a false doctrine. And the false doctrine he taught basically is that the concept of the church as an institution, as existing as an institution, is something that is in error. He said basically there is no organization. He denied that there are appointed elders, denied the authority of elders, as well as other things, and along those lines basically said that what the Bible has reference to is just people meeting together in one another's home, and that there's nothing in Scripture that can properly be described as congregational activity or such. And that's what one of the key things that he kept coming back to is that the word church is an improper translation. Well, it is and it isn't. It is not a translation at all of the Greek. And yet the term church, if it is defined properly, is one that we certainly can use. Just as we can use the word baptize. As long as by baptize we mean immerse, not sprinkle or pour. We just have to define it correctly. And so we shouldn't shy away from that term just because it's not a literal translation of the text, as long as we define it correctly. Again, you almost have to do that. That's what happens. It doesn't matter if the derivation of the word is from the Latin or from the Spanish or from the French or from the German. If it's an English word and it defines the actual Greek term, then it can be rightly used. And as it's defined today, the term church, if it's defined as an assembly of Christians, is certainly a proper definition of it. So the point being that there were churches of Christ that existed in the first century, congregations of Christ. And if there were congregations of Christ in the first century, that we are certainly within our rights with regard to authority and scripturally right to say that we are a church of Christ. We are one of those. And so from that we would derive our authority. Yes.
Matthew, in 16, verse 18, tells Jesus this secret. He says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." That his church would be the church of Christ, and that's used in the singular there, but it's for future events.
Certainly, and of Christ in the text of Romans 16 is a preposition denoting ownership. It's Christ's church, and we could say that we are Christ's church and use that phrase as well. That would certainly be a scriptural designation based upon Matthew 16. Yes, Kelly.
Well, we have to remember too that when we explain to people who ask us what church are you a member of, there is only one universal church. There is only one universal body of saved people. The fact that there are different localities doesn't change the fact that when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," there is only one body of saved people, only one church.
Yeah.
We are in the same church as brethren who are in India or brethren who are in Africa. We're all in the same church, meeting in different localities. That group. That's something, you know, by the very nature, they of course, I'm confident that most people in denominations don't study this subject to any degree. They don't understand the concept of when they ask you what church you're a member of, they think that the church is in fact divided and that it's right for it to be divided. They accept the principle of different denominations. And that has changed for the last 100 years because I think as you talked about in the previous class, it used to be that individuals from the Baptist denomination and Methodist denomination would in fact condemn one another as being in error. They thought that they were in fact the one true church. And all the other ones were in error. They no longer
depend. Yeah, it was one of the inconsistencies that existed. And you're right, this denominational concept is one we have to commonly fight. But take as an example, there were many, and of course, for example, using the Baptist church as an example, there are various flavors of Baptist churches. But there were many Baptist churches that practiced what they refer to as closed communion, which would indicate that their belief that Methodists would go to heaven, but that Methodists, because of their religious error, doctrinal error, were not worthy of observing communion with them, Baptists, as a result of that error. And they would debate. And we'd hear back, go, you know, I can go into my my library and show you a bunch of debate books between gospel preachers and Baptist preachers or Methodist preachers or Catholic priests and the various ones. And they weren't just debating gospel preachers; they were debating each other too back then. And that's and things have changed. It's very much, but that's a function of our society. We're living in a tolerant society, and so it's not in good. You're not acting as you should, politically correct, if you debate and disagree in this day and time.
Very
which
peculiar.
Is
peculiar. People can write books and books and books about the differences in doctrine and then at the same time say, well, it really doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But they've got all these different denominations, but then the same people that are insisting on being a member of one over the other will say, well, it doesn't really make any difference.
Well, I think part of that has to be the outgrowth of the Calvinistic theology, the once saved, always saved, the perseverance of the saints. If God saves you, though you be in doctrinal error, ultimately you're still going to make it. You know, we don't like you. We don't think that you got it right. And we're better than you are. But at the same time, you're going to get there. There have been individuals that have advocated different degrees of reward as well as an outgrowth of this kind of position. So some peculiar things that come out as a result of it. But you're right; it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that we differ in these differences can be sufficient to cause argument and debate when in the end it doesn't matter one way or the other in the minds of most. Okay, so but basically that's the principle we want to establish and Kelly made a good point that I think we might can end on is this idea that what we're up against is a denominational concept that's very much ingrained in people because it's all they've known for many, many years, generations even. And as a result of that, the first time you begin to talk to them about this different way of looking at it, that there is a universal body of believers, and it's not made up of the various denominations, it's simply made up of Christians, individuals. And that those individuals combine together in different places, local churches, local assemblies, for the purpose of doing the Lord's work. but that there is no organization above a local congregation revealed in Scripture. That's, you know, with all of the synods and all of the conventions and all of the ecclesiastical hierarchies and all that exist there, as well as the actual organic denominations that exist and that have come into being over the ages. This concept of just one church made up of individual Christians who bond themselves together in local congregations, and that's it. Is something that is far afield from what they practice, and as a result of that, what they will believe. And so, as a result of that, when they talk to you, and this is kind of the background of this Baptist preacher's questions. He's basically trying to say that you members of the Church of Christ, and he's got it in quotation marks for those who do have the book. Why does the quote Church of Christ capital C there? Remember we talked about the difference between big C and little C as far as the proper name. Why does the quote Church of Christ? Well, he says the Church of Christ is just another denomination. In other places, when he's being sarcastic or strong in his wording, he'll actually call it the Campbellite Church or Campbellites. They say that's simply another sectarian denomination. Now, I just want to point one other thing out before we go on, because this is something that is actually of relatively new origin. And it is as a result of what we may refer to as postmodern thought, the idea that the only thing that is wrong is to say that you're right and others are wrong. But they have the idea that anyone who claims to have the truth and who would put themselves up as being defenders of truth and that others are in error, that they are the ones that are being sectarian or denominational. That it's not so much being wrong with regard to those claims, but making the claims themselves that make you sectarian. And as a result of that, if you talk to many today, they will tell you that the very foundation of our approach to Scripture, that is that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, and our desire to depend upon and to defend that truth is in itself a sectarian practice, and that we are the ones that are causing the division. So, the point that we must make and emphasize is that the truth does not divide, the truth saves. And if we claim to be defending the truth, and in actuality are defending the truth, then when division comes as a result of that, we are not the real ones that are responsible for it. We are not at fault, because truth does not divide, error divides. Defense of truth is not a vice, and those who are defending truth and practicing truth are his, because they are faithful to Christ and to God. And it's not sectarian. And in fact, it's what God expects in Scripture. So there is that distinction that is somewhat common, which, as Roger alluded to, you know, in this idea that people have today is in contrast to what it was maybe 100 years ago, where people then were willing to defend what they believe. Now they're not. They think it's wrong to. It's just you're just being sectarian or divisive because you expect everybody to believe like you believe, and that's a divisive thing. And that's something that's a relatively recent origin, but it is very, very prevalent in our society today. Justin, did you want to speak?
Well, we talked a little bit last week about the people that want to change signs and put little c's on church, and or say Christians name here, or a little c Church of Christ name here. And part of the reason I want to do that is because there was a lot of confusion in the church that Church of Christ was the only approved name. And that's largely what he's bringing up here. And if we went to the junior high class right now and said, why do we call this the Westside Church of Christ and not the Westside Church of God? I don't know that anyone would get it right. And
I might disagree with you on that, but you're right.
You disagree that I don't know if anyone
should? No, I would condemn that maybe some would, put it that way.
And they might.
Hey, I'm disagreeable type.
But the point is that it is lawful and is convenient, or it's expedient. That's not good. Could it be lawfully put out there a little c congregation of the little c Catholic, little c Church of Christ needs here? Yeah, we could,
yep.
But that would
pain, so we don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. And we actually made that point as well with the term or the phrase Church of God and some of the others that are found in Scripture. And I think that I think you're right. I would hope that the confusion is not pervasive in the Lord's church. I'm hoping that this is being taught quite often. I know that I strive to make those clarifications anytime I preach a lesson on the church, and that's the reason I said that, is because those people in the middle school class, if they can't explain it, it's not because they hadn't heard it before. But having said that, I think that's true. But this is something that I brought up at the very end and didn't really have time to enlarge on. I think that one of the primary reasons, because I've done a little bit of research and about some of this this practice of putting Christians meet here on the board instead of Church of Christ and other things, and arguments made, because there actually was some discussion about it back in the late 80s and early 90s, quite a bit actually, on Truth Magazine and other places. And, but I think there's an agenda that some of them have, is that in effect they did not want to be associated or known as those individuals who say that they and they alone had the truth, because they felt like that was impacting their ability to evangelize. And possibly that could be true, that it could. If individuals have a prejudice against one who would say, baptism is necessary for salvation and those who haven't been baptized are lost, then when you go and say, I'm one of them, then they're going to say, don't come around, I want to listen to you. And I understand that that's the case. But it's somewhat dishonest, I think, to say, we're not them, we're not them, we're not them. Really, we are. That kind of got you there. And the other thing is, it disturbs me if anyone would say, we don't want to put the name Christ on the building, the Lord's name on the building. Not that it has to be that designation, but okay, it's not expedient anymore for us to be known as a church belonging to Christ, and so we're going to put something else on there and try to get around those things. The problem has and always will be that those who stand for truth will be fought against by those who advocate error. And what you have to do is preach truth and defend it and explain to people what you mean when you say what you say. And that's always going to be the case, no matter what you put on the sign up front. So it's kind of a silly thing to do, but there are other attitudes that are present among some who have done that are advocating some changes that are actually not scriptural that I've seen. And it's just a kind of a dangerous practice. If not a dangerous practice, some who are advocating that practice were not standing for truth, and so it is kind of scary to see when people do that. But again, there are many names or designations that we can be known by, and Church of Christ is only one of them. Yes, Kelly.
Well, going back to this point that you were talking about, and the point Justin brought up in the last class, unity is only found in Christ. Unity is only found in God. There is no church outside of Christ. Human organizations that have been created are not of Christ. They belong to Christ. They have no part in Christ. They were created by men. They're an undefined, just like homosexuals being married is an undefined relationship. A human organization that has not obeyed the gospel is an undefined relationship. It's not the church that we read about in the New Testament. They don't belong to Christ. And so Jesus called for division and said, do not think I am came to be a priest, but a sword. He calls for us to be divided from the world. He calls for us to come out of the world, and he calls for those who would be his to come out of error, whatever that error is. And you said we're not with me against me, and this same attitude is permeated now even so-called conservative congregations, where they're no longer willing to stand up against false doctrine, or they're willing to tolerate it, or to say, well, we're still studying about things when it's plainly revealed in Scripture that what's being taught and what's being advocated is false. And so Jesus says, you are to put the body on down. And you are to come out of there. You are to come out from among them and be separate. So when we're teaching that individuals have to come out of sin and error, we're doing exactly what Jesus says has to be done for people to be saved.
There's a term, denomination that's known as the United Church of Christ. and that's misnamed. In other words, they call themselves that. Doesn't mean they are one, and that's a good point to be made. Unless you're standing for truth, it's not accurate. Yes, Roger.
Well, you're talking about these different names on that building. I think maybe some of that can be caused by kind of local issues too. You have some established church that ends up with a bad reputation, not following the doctrine of Christ, and maybe some groups that doesn't really want to be so closely associated with that, but to make a difference.
Now, this is where Justin's point is very, very legitimate. Any local congregation has the right, so long as they follow Scripture, to describe themselves in any of those scriptural terms. And if they determine that it's expedient to do so, they certainly are within their rights to do so, whether it's Church of God, Church of the Firstborn, Assemblies of Christ, whatever you want to, even the one that Justin came up with, which was something about Catholic, and which means universal, and that's an appropriate thing too. But having said that, and that's where some of the problems arise, because there were a number of individuals that were saying, and I think I mentioned this, that Church of Christ was the one that was chosen way back in the Restoration Movement, so it's the only expedient description, which is a ridiculous argument. It's just it's going well beyond what can be established in Scripture. You can't say that God described us in these ways, but now we can't use these ways anymore because someone else who's uninspired determined that this was the best one way back when. You just simply can't do that. My concern is not that someone would use Christians Meet Here on the sign, but rather perhaps some of the motivations and the practices behind it, if there is indeed something that is not in keeping with God's word. But that in itself is something that we should not have a problem with. Yes, Jean.
On this question, he's doing what I find a lot of people want to do. They want to go down to one little minute point, and they think if they can trap you on the one point, then everything else they say is okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a friend who, it's a very sad story. She's a faithful member of the Lord's Church for many, many years, and then got caught up in Max Licato's thing. And when we were trying to talk the last time, she said, "Do you really think that only people who walk in the door that says Church of Christ are going to heaven?" And I'm thinking, we disagree on about everything that was ever taught now, and this is what you want to talk about. And it's a justification. If I can make you be wrong here, then everything else I say is okay.
Yeah. When it all gets down to it, that's exactly right. And you think about where these questions arise, and what happens is, we will ask them, "Where is your authority for using the term or referring to yourself as the Baptist Church? Where is the authority for that? Where in Scripture is the church referred to as the Baptist Church, and what is meant by that?" Well, when before a person's asked that question, Baptist churches is what we are. It's what signifies who we are. Why in the world would you need authority for that? So whenever these debates were held over this issue, there was a Baptist preacher somewhere in the long ago that said, "Hey, wait a second, Church of Christ isn't there either in the singular. It's only there in the plural." But again, it's missing the whole point. The whole point of this whole thing is just missing it. And that's not the point. The point is that we need to make sure that we are describing ourselves as Scripture designates, and have authority for our practices. So when you've got a congregation or a church, a denomination that's doing lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of things that are without authority, by coming and saying, "Okay, you know, it only says Churches of Christ," that you can, okay, that throws out the window what? It really doesn't do anything. It doesn't make, and even if we could not justify our actions scripturally, it doesn't justify their actions. If there's no authority for it, there's no authority for it, and that's the point. Okay, we've talked about this quite a bit. Yes, Dick, I'll give you the last word. Then we're going on.
Right, I heard you about the truth of error being taught, and of course, kind of brought up pretty good. Whenever there is truth and error, God always demands division from the error when you get to that point. So God demands that. And also about things that are awful but not always expedient. That might not be the right word, but like he's called Church of God and Church of Reading and everything like that. And it caused confusion when we go to meet, you know, the notations. And so it's more expedient to use that to criticize good pastors.
Well, in many instances, let's put it this way, in most instances you're right, it is more expedient to use that term for various reasons, but it may not always be. And which is the point that Roger was making, in some local situation it may be different. But what is the expedient? All we're talking about, that I can determine, if we're saying Westside Church of Christ on the front of the building, and by the way, I'm not advocating by any means changing it, that's what I want to keep it. But really about the only thing that expedites is our relationship with other Christians. It might expedite something with regard to the community, but again, when you go and you're preaching to the lost, you've got to teach the truth. They've got to be taught, and all their misconceptions have to be explained anyway. So when we say Westside Church of Christ, what that tells someone is, if I'm looking for a place to visit when I'm on vacation, then I can narrow down my search a little bit so I know who it is to look for. Although you can't stop there, because there's so many who claim to be churches of Christ that are teaching error. So it's an expediency in that regard. But to say that since it's expedient for us, it's expedient for every congregation would be somewhat dangerous to do. Make that more of the generalization.
The confusion doesn't last long. I go on vacation, I look up Church of Christ to go find something. When I move to Fort Worth, I look up Church of Christ and I try to find things near the Air Force Base. For some reason, then Google Maps showed this congregation in the lake. But we were driving to one that's further to the west, and we saw here while we were going by. We got there, and they had a Jungle Gym and swings. And we said, well, let's go to the place that was back over there. That's how we found here. And even if that doesn't happen and you get inside, it doesn't take long once you're inside to figure out, are these people doing good things or are they doing false ones?
Sure.
And, you change your name, you're just going to chase your name.
Yeah. I just what I fear is again that we elevate, if we elevate tradition to law, then we've gone too far. And I think that some have done so. And again, I'm not advocating any changes. I look with suspicion upon those who do, because again of my understanding of other positions they've taken on different subjects. But that's all it is an expediency. So we need to recognize it as such. Yes.
Last week we discussed about whether the word Christians using diversion, we pretty well shot that down. It seemed like we brought up that whether this is used in the word Christian is used in division today.
Derision?
Yeah, right. Derision
right.
Is used today, and of course we know that it is, not so much the word Christian, but Christianity and lump it all together by
sure.
All the word and the Democrat political leaders but then the way that we use Christian today isn't exactly right. Christian nation and Christian Christian church, Christian this and that and the other,
The term Christian is used three times in Scripture to refer to people. And at the very least, what we need to recognize is if we use the term in any other way, then we are accommodating the use. If I refer to as a, for example, a Christian family, I have to describe myself. Because basically what you're saying, you're turning a noun into an adjective. And if you're talking about a Christian family, you either have to be describing a family of Christians or a family that follows the Christian ideals, the Christian teachings, or the teachings of Christ. And that's an accommodated use of the term. I do not think that it's necessarily an unscriptural use of the term. And I would have reference, for example, to use a term such as the Trinity, having reference to the three persons of the Godhead. While the term Trinity is not found in Scripture, it's a proper concept, a term that establishes a scriptural concept. And I think that we certainly can do that. Now, what would happen is when we begin to designate institutions like Christian colleges. Okay, Christian college. What do you mean by that? Please explain what you mean by that. How in the world can a college be Christian? And that was common practice. In fact, still is today. I believe early on, Florida College was known as Florida Christian College, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that the objections raised to that concept of why are we designating this? This doesn't have anything to do with the church. Christians are involved in this, certainly, but to designate a secular institution as a Christian institution is at the very least problematic. And I'm glad, certainly glad that they decided to take away that designation, just refer to them as Florida College. You can run into some real problems with that kind of stuff. Christian hospitals, Christian colleges, Christian this, Christian that, Christian the other. As in putting some official designation on something which would give it some validity or authority as to Scripture, when in reality these are secular institutions and have nothing to do with the Lord or His church or anything along those lines, other than simply the practice of individuals who are fulfilling their social responsibilities and such in that regard. So we have to be careful about our usages of the term, that we make sure that they're done in scriptural and defensible ways.
Yeah, I was going to turn around and find out what we're going to talk about. I was going to say, first of all, before you said, if we saw a building that said Church of God, would we be willing to go in there and at least talk with these individuals or see whether they're practicing the truth or not? I would hope that I would be willing to do that. Perhaps they are, in fact, a faithful congregation of Lord's people. But I'm afraid many members of the Lord's body would not go in there assuming that they're a denomination. And most likely they probably are. But what if a faithful group of Christians who had all obeyed the gospel according to God's word had decided to say we're gonna describe ourselves as the Church of God that meets over in Fort Worth?
So they have the right to do that.
Congregation of saints, then they are.
Yeah. It's sort of inviting confusion.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, but sure.
Saying
foolish, it may fit their purposes. It's not my place to judge, is the point in regard. But again, like I mentioned before, even in Kelly's scenario, and I know we're getting a little far afield here, but it's I think a valid point. Even in Kelly's scenario, who is it that's concerned about it? It's certainly not those members of that congregation who know who they are. It should not be any individual that they go and teach to, because in that case, what you're doing is defending your understanding of God's word and preaching the gospel. So you're going to be describing. So all that is really left is other Christians that might be confused by that. And it's my hope that if we, if number one, that we're where we're supposed to be on the first day of the week, which is worshiping with our congregation, under normal circumstances. But if we go on vacation or we are on the road or traveling, that we have made some effort to find and identify faithful congregations to be a part of on the road to worship with. And it's not that hard to do. I mean, in some cases it may be, depending on where you're going, it may be hard to find one. But there are ways, books, directories, websites, to where almost invariably you can, when you find a congregation, are these people faithful? You can make a phone call and ask somebody. And there's a way of contacting them and getting a hold of them and just asking them where they stand and what they believe and to find out whether or not you want to be there and be a part of it. And so that, I think, is where the lesson lies in us. It's not getting upset if someone has a different name on the sign, but making sure that you do your homework so that you don't walk into some building somewhere else thinking, okay, it says Church of Christ in the building, so I'm going to be okay. Because I tell you something, if you're not in the South of the United States, chances are, if you go to a place and it has Church of Christ on the building, you've only got maybe a 20% chance that you're going to be pleased with what goes on. I mean, there are churches up in the Northeast that have the phrase Church of Christ on the sign that are institutional and instrumental as well. They worship God with an instrument of music. Very common. Around the time of the Civil War and then the division, which took place shortly after, where the Christian church broke off and began to practice using instruments as well as the missionary society. Those churches up there, not all of them took Church of Christ off the sign. They didn't say, okay, well, we're breaking off, so now we're going to be known as Disciples of Christ. Many of them maintained that sign, that name on their sign. We're Church of Christ. When we start using the instrument, we're still a Church of Christ. And so they still have that name on the building to this day. You go up there and you walk in, and there's a big organ sitting in the middle of the auditorium. So, it takes a little bit of work, a little bit of diligence on the part of a Christian to, okay, I'm going to be somewhere else and I want to worship with God's people. I want to be in a faithful congregation on the Lord's day. So I'm going to have to look into it and find out who is and who isn't. And do a little bit of research And if you do the research, you're going to find it. If there's one in the area, you'll be able to find them. And because everybody wants everybody to know about it. I mean, we've in every single one of those things I mentioned, the Truth Magazine, Church Directory, those websites. You know, we've for years and years and years with the websites. There's two that you can go to, findthechurch.com, and there's one other. And both of them, our listing is right there, Fort Worth, and a way to get a hold of us. Our website is the link to our website's on there, so they can go and find out about us. All those things, information is online with all those different churches. You know, I want Christians that are visiting Fort Worth to know we're here, so they can come worship with us. And so I'm going to do my very best to make sure they're aware of it. Anybody else? Yes, Mike.
Well, I'll just, reputation makes a big difference too. Where you go. So when you're going out and when you're on vacation, you go to a congregation that has a good reputation. I think that's college part. But you know that is the faith of the church.
You know as well as I do, Michael, sometimes that when you have a good reputation with some, that means you got a bad reputation with others. As well, yeah. I mean, you want to have the reputation that they're standing for truth,
right?
Yeah, certainly, and that upsets some people. So some people aren't willing to come if you do. Okay. So I tried my very hardest, and I want it on record that I'm the one that wanted to get to question 10, and we didn't get there. But
you're the victim.
Now the is there 31 days in September? Okay, so next week is the singing night. We have our Saturday singing, by the way, on the 20th. So we're going to be 2 weeks. So first Wednesday in October, we'll be on lesson 10.
Well, you still got time to answer
the 10. Yeah, right. Dick, I was going to give you the final word, but 8 people talked after you. Do you have anything else you want to say? All right. You do?
Well, during the Restoration, this came first to the disciples of Christ, the church of Christ. I thought it was on the disciples of Christ. And then when they had the division.
You mean the name?
Yeah.
I don't have the idea. Disciples came later. I do know that the disciples of Christ, actually, when you go in and look at that arm that broke off from the truth, that there is a large number of independent Christian churches that are not affiliated with the disciples of Christ. The Disciples of Christ right now is a mainstream denomination that is extremely liberal in its theology. Ecumenical, inclusive of women in the, quote, clergy, and they'll refer to it as clergy, wearing their robes and all that kind of good stuff. It may be that around that time that some churches were, because it seems like way back with Campbell and Barton W. Stone, that some were referring to themselves as the Disciples, as a group, and others as Christians, and the two terms were being used. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's the case. Alexander Campbell's group and were referring to themselves as the Disciples, and Barton W. Stone's group are referring to themselves as Christians in that designation, and then the two merged when they realized they had no differences theologically. But as far as the common usage of the term, I think Christian churches is was not as common as Church of Christ before the split. But I don't know that for certainty. But Disciples of Christ as a denomination, of course, came later. All right, thank you all for your kind attention today. Interesting discussion. Appreciate everyone jumping in.